So welcome back. So as I was saying, the Apostle Paul gave command to the saints to do collections. I'll read that quickly in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. It says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the congregations of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me." So here you see Paul use the same command, the same principles from the command, that it's on the first day of the week that these should be laid aside. Now, these are not being laid aside so the Levites could collect them. Rather, it's laid aside so that he could come and gather their offerings because he intends to bring them to Jerusalem. Okay, so let's move on. So more going back to what I was saying regarding Messiah gave instructions. So they ate the Passover. Then that very night, he was arrested and brought to the place of the high priest. And he was being abused by them, questioning, blasphemed. And by morning, they had enough consensus among them to have him executed and then brought him to Pilate for that purpose. And we know the whole scenario, that Pilate didn't want to, after much questioning, sent him to Herod, and Herod likewise, after much questioning and accusation, sent him back to Pilate. Pilate, after much effort, tried to release him, but eventually around 12 noon, finally made the decision and caved in to the request of the leaders, Jewish leaders, and gave him over to be crucified. When, after 12 noon is when that was done, then he was put in guard in custody of the garrison, a band of soldiers ranging from 10 to around between 10 and 40 soldiers, as would be, and he was kept, guarded, safeguarded by them, again, being mistreated, abused, and given all the facts. We know that it was after the last day of unleavened bread, the day after, that Wednesday, a week later, he was crucified. 3 days and three nights, he said he would be in the tomb. Then he would rise again. Let's take a look at that in the book of Matthew. For context, I'm going to read chapter 27, verses 62, and then go into the portion in Matthew. Matthew chapter 27, verse 62 says, "Next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, 'Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, after 3 days, I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people, he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first.' Pilate said to them, 'You have a guard of soldiers. Go and make it as secure as you can.'" Speaking to these, who? The chief priests and the Pharisees. Not the chief priest, but the chief priests, all of them, and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate. "Go and make it secure as you can." And verse 66 said, "So they went." Who? The chief priests and the Pharisees went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. So interesting. So the day after the crucifixion, what was it called? It was the next day. That is after the day of preparation. Wait a minute. Why isn't it the Sabbath day? It's the day after the preparation. It wasn't the Sabbath, right? They went and made the tomb secure. Again, we ask, why aren't they, this was during Passover week, why aren't they concerned about being unclean? They went to Pilate, all of them, and they also went to the tomb themselves and made secure and had the guards set up. So why? And if this was still within Passover, why aren't they officiating the services? I mean, it's not just one priest, it's the chief priest. They're the ones who would be officiating the Passover and festival services. Why aren't they there? Why aren't the Pharisees there? Because it was no longer Passover. It was after Passover this was happening. So now, verse 28, about the chapter 28, the resurrection, it says, now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Eternal descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled, and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek the Savior, Yahushua, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Yeshua met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Yeshua said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. And while they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people, quote, tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. Verse 14, and if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed, and this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Now, verse 16, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Yeshua had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Yeshua came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always till the end of the age. Often in movies, they'll show that he ascends after that, but not necessarily. When they meet him, this is an example of truncation of text. Like when I try to explain that, you could see something written. If you're not careful, you'll think it's happening back to back. But no, we know a lot happened in between the time he rose from the dead and the time he ascended. There was 40 days lapse between the time he rose from the dead and this. So that's why when we're reading events like when he was arrested the night of Passover, and you read all these events about the trial, they're just giving you, the scripture just giving us the basics, the most important, crucial things that happen. But they're not happening immediately after each other. Days could have gone by between one thing and another. That's what we have to understand. And this is a very good example of that. Keep that in mind. So when we read the scriptures, that we don't get confused. So Messiah rose from the dead on the first day of the week. There are some that would argue that because of the language in the Greek that says now at the end of the Sabbaths, the translation of the Greek literally says now at the end of the Sabbaths, towards the dawn of the first of the Sabbaths. That's how it's written. That somehow that should be believed that it's at the end of the first day of unleavened bread Sabbath towards the seventh day Sabbath. That's how they actually believe this. But there's a problem with that. There are a couple of problems. Just in the text itself, it says at the end of the Sabbaths, okay? So the first day of unleavened bread is one Sabbath. In other words, the week that they have in mind is one Sabbath. So why, if it's referring to the day of unleavened, why does it say Sabbaths, meaning more than one? So no, it is talking about more than once, at the end of more than one Sabbath. That Tuesday was a Sabbath, the last day of unleavened bread. The seventh day was also a Sabbath. So that's why it says at the end of the Sabbath. When it says towards the first of the Sabbath, it is talking about the first of the week. It's using the word Sabbath here in connection of a week, like we see in Leviticus when it talks about the Feast of Pentecost. It speaks of the Sabbath. It speaks of weeks in terms of Sabbaths. It says, you shall count seven Sabbaths. And it's understood to be weeks. That's why it's called Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, right? But it says, you shall count seven perfect Sabbaths, letting us know that it's from Sabbath to Sabbath. It's not just any seventh day period. It's from one Sabbath to another. So in this case, where it's saying towards the first of the Sabbath, it is saying plainly the first day of the week. That's when first fruits happens. And that's when Messiah was risen from the dead. And he is actually called the first fruits. And we will take a look at that for a minute. Messiah, although Messiah is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, is referred to our Passover, but he is never called the Passover lamb directly. He's called our Passover. He is the whole thing, all of the days of Passover. He is the lamb. He is especially the bread. He is all of it throughout the 7 days. That's why he spent 7 days incarcerated and was put to death the day after the last day of unleavened bread and outside of Jerusalem. But Messiah is the first fruits himself, as we will see. So the first day of the week is when the first fruits was offered, and the first day of the week was when Messiah rose from the dead. Let's take a look at him being called first fruits. The people had to bring a sheaf of the first fruits on that day to the Levite priest. This was a holy convocation or assembly. That statement, accepted for you, as found in the book in Leviticus chapter 23, means the sheaf was waved on behalf of all the assembly in honor of Elohim's acceptance of the assembly. In the light of the prior appointed times, we see the Eternal celebrated on the Sabbath as the Creator, celebrated on Passover and days of unleavened bread as Savior and Redeemer, and celebrated on the day of the wave sheet of the first fruit as one who accepts his redeemed people. So Messiah resurrected as first fruits on that day so we can be accepted of the Father. This is why we see in John's record of the revelation, found in John chapter 20, verses 16 to 17, it says, verse 16 says, and Yeshua says unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Yeshua says unto her, touch me not, or do not hold on to me, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my Elohim and your Elohim. So he's going to ascend as the first of the first fruits. And we know that same evening he comes back to the disciples and appears before them while they were enclosed. He appeared in the room, in their room where they were staying. So this is the great purpose of this wonderful but overlooked and neglected appointed time, to celebrate Elohim, who is accepting us through Messiah, his uniquely born son, the first of first fruits. Consider the following verses, which clearly describe Messiah as the first of the first fruits and his redeemed as first fruits. So we who belong to him are first fruits, but he is the first of the first fruits. And that's what it was done in the springtime, where allegorically all the first of the land starts to grow. You don't wait till the fall. The first of the first fruits happens in the spring, the first season. And that's why he died at that time. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 says, but now is Messiah risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He is the first fruits. Okay. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23, but every man in his own order, Messiah, the first fruits, afterward, they that are messiahs at his coming. So he is the first fruits. Romans chapter 8, verse 23 says, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for adoption, to wit, redemption of our body." We have the first fruits of the Spirit, the congregation of Elohim, that through Messiah, they're the ones who first receive the set apart Spirit. Romans chapter 11, verse 16 says, "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches." It says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." He is the root and offspring of David. He is holy, and he is the first fruits. Romans 16, verse 5 says, "Likewise, greet the congregation that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Messiah." What does that mean? That means he was the first person that Achaia brought into the faith. So we too, as we work for Elohim, the people we bring in are our first fruits in that context. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15 says, "I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that is, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." In James chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." And lastly, Revelation chapter 14, verse 4, "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto Elohim and to the Lamb." Okay, so this is the purpose of first fruits, for the resurrection of the dead, where Messiah is the first. Resurrection of the dead, meaning Elohim has fully accepted us. Just like the children of Israel, when they had fully received the promise of coming into the land, they had specific things they had to do and say. They had to acknowledge that Elohim fulfilled his promise in bringing them into the land, acknowledge the blessings and bounty they had by offering samples of first fruits of all reaped, and then they had to share what they received. So likewise, in Messiah, he has fulfilled the promise. It is a fulfillment of the promise of our salvation, that through him, just as he died and rose again as the first of the first fruits, likewise, he fulfills that promise when we rise from the dead. It will be the fulfillment of his promise. When all the first fruits are gathered, he will have fulfilled that promise to us. There's much that can be said, but we will say more on it next Sabbath, on the Sabbath, the eternal permitting. But keep that in mind. The primary point of this event is that Messiah rose from the dead as the first fruits, as the first of first fruits, so we can be accepted of Messiah. Furthermore, so we too can be first fruits of the resurrection when he returns to establish Elohim's kingdom on earth. That should be the focal point of our worship to Elohim. Some of the things we can do, we can focus or meditate on the incredible and profound significance of awful sinners like us being accepted by the infinite and perfectly just Creator. Let's really consider what it means for Messiah to be the first of the first fruits. Let's meditate on that. We could just sing songs about that in our, make melody in our hearts about these things, and meditate on the marvelous reality of how Elohim accomplished it through Messiah. We need to offer prayers of thanksgiving, as we will do after this message. We will offer prayers of thanksgiving to Elohim and his Messiah for all they did to receive us and make us heirs of everlasting life, and enjoy a nice meal together in gratitude, in honor of what the Eternal and his Messiah has done for us. So this is what it's about. I feel I've not done it enough justice. There's so much. There's not enough time. But the timing of this, just to conclude, I almost forgot to mention, tradition holds this on 2 days after Passover, on the 16th of Aviv. But as we see in the scriptures, it would have had happened on the 26th of Aviv, because Messiah was crucified after the Wednesday, immediately after the last day of unleavened bread, the next day of the last day of unleavened bread. 3 days and three nights later, he rose from the dead. And that would have been on the 26th of the first month, the 26th of Aviv. And guess what? The records in the Dead Sea Scrolls, that's exactly when they show the Feast of First Fruits occurs. Not during Passover, but actually on the first day of the week following the last day of unleavened bread. And so it's no surprise that it shows that Messiah, that by the Bible, it shows that Messiah was crucified the day after the last day of unleavened bread, spent 3 days and three nights, and rose exactly on the first fruits. Because he is the first fruits. That's really what he is. He is more than just the first, than the lamb. He's the entirety of Passover and every feast, but especially right now for us, the first of the first fruits. Amet, thank you for listening, dear brethren.